Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. But I go by SEC Mike as always, but not on this one, Shane. Not on this one, Shane. I'm Aggie Mike because this is our Texas A&M football preview. And there's everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. I'm calling him Good Bull Shane. What's up, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I am ready to talk some Texas A&M. You know what?
Giga Maggies. Yep, absolutely. I had to do a little research on Good Bull. That was a new one for me. So if you're new to the show, it's like Tex Ag Spirit, you know? So, yes, today I'm Good Bull Shane. I kind of like that. I think I've been called Bull before.
Yeah, cousin Shank, they're calling you. For some reason.
Oh, my golfing.
I think it's a type. Oh, how was the golfing?
No, I didn't get to go, man. Jeez, it rains every damn day up here. I was supposed to go with the cousin today, and we ended up having to cancel it. And then sure as I called, sun comes out. It's like damn, we should have went. We should have went. So I've gone, it's 2 days now without golf, and I'm fiending, brother. I'm gone tomorrow. I ain't going to be back. I'm going to do 36 holes tomorrow.
Okay, well, yeah, you got all weekend to hit the links, Shane, and think about how glorious this season's going to be for old Texas A&M. Shane, this is we've said it all off season. Mm-hmm. We're not hyping them up. Not this year.
Not this year.
We did it the last 20. Not this one, Shane. So let's briefly recap. Uh-oh. Got to get my notes up here. Let's recap. Last season here, Shane, it was, man, what a debut. I was ready to call Elko SEC coach of the century over here, starting out 7-1, rip roar. Now, again, we lost the opener, but Notre Dame, you know, those cheating bastards. Then we win the next seven, look like $1 million, even though we're juggling quarterbacks. But then disaster strikes, Shane, and lose four of the final five. But, you know, That is the narrative. I get it. That's the narrative because that's what literally happened. But I think too many people forget, Shane, that this team going into the regular season finale against Texas, they had a right to go to the SEC championship, a right to go to the college football playoff on the line. Of course, that doesn't really matter when you don't get it done. But I get it. All in all, this was a very solid debut. When Mike Elko goes 8-5, who's that better than, Shane, in their debut seasons? Guys, again, I'm not saying he's better than these guys, but that was better than Saban at Alabama, better than Kirby at Georgia, sure as hell better than Sark at Texas, better than Heupel at Tennessee, better than Kiffin at Ole Miss. I mean, this was a hell of a debut season.
It really was, man. And a lot of people, I mean, we've slept since that last month. I mean, that last month was absolutely brutal for Texas A&M. But after that LSU game, you remember how high we were on this football team? I mean, after watching the destruction that they put on that football field, I was like, there is nobody in this conference going to be able to slow down this team. And then all of a sudden, South Carolina came to town. So, you know, it was one of those that
we went from nobody could beat them to everybody can beat them.
Yeah, the joke went, I mean, 8-4 has always been the Texas A&M kind of jab. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. The way they got to 8-4, I think was pretty damn impressive, man. Obviously, things fell apart there at the end of the season, but there was a lot of good, too. And you got to remember, like you said, this is first year. So let's pump the brakes on the expectations. Those standards and expectations will be getting harder as the season goes for Coach Elko.
How about Cousin Daryl here, Shane? He says, Giggum, please end the season in October. Hey, maybe that's how we can get around this. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there for a minute, they were the betting favorite. I mean, I was even back on board. I was crowning them. Maybe that's what it was. I started supporting them Aggies, and then they started losing. I mean, I'm the bad luck, so I'm going to try not to be too hyper and too overzealous about them Aggies this season.
I think you hit that nail on the head, Shane. Shout out to Cousin Ashley Schaefer, BMW. The Aggies only got that far because we double covered Cousin cursed them all the way. Remember, we picked against A&M every damn week.
That's true. I picked them to lose several times. And then when I started picking them to win, they lost. So this may be their season, Mike.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's get into Coach Elko, Shane. Again, we've seen this graphic. We've had it up all season, but just 3 years as a head coach. He's been an elite defensive coordinator, across college football. Now he's got his own ship here. So here's how his outlook. Again, these graphics are a little bit cooler when they got a little bit more season into them. But, man, if you would have told most A&M fans, Shane, that you're going to have a winning record against the SEC 1 year in, beat the likes of LSU and Florida and Mizzou, who was looking like $1 million when they played that game, and he kept the streak going against Arkansas. You know, this is, again, solid outing. The one that obviously sticks out is losing to Texas. That's the one we got to get back to get everybody hyped up about Coach Elko.
Yeah, I mean, but there were some big wins. I mean, I picked against them against Mizzou. I think I picked them against Florida and obviously LSU. There were some games I really didn't think Elko was going to get. So I think overall, you know, when you're looking big picture, you're okay as an Aggie fan. You just kind of hate how you got hurt, man. You know what I'm saying? You got your expectations up. You're getting a little bit of that buzz saying, hey, damn, you know, Shane and Mike are over here saying we can go to the SEC championship. Then you start believing it, you know, and then all of a sudden the wind comes right out of your sails. So how you got there didn't end pretty, but man, I still there's a lot of coaches, a lot of teams that would kill for 8-4 their first season with a new coach.
Yeah, and you know what I'd kill for, Shane?
What's that?
Cousin JR.
Oh!
JR's back. He's back, Shane. We'd do anything for that man.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz.
JR has blessed Shane Always Aggie a membership to the channel, so we appreciate you, Cousin JR. And Always Aggie, welcome to the family.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
And then we got another good one here, Shane. Steve it up. Appreciate you, buddy. $20. My money's on Shane versus Elko. That's a throwback to last week or so when Shane and Coach Elko, virtual Elko, got into this spat here. So I think he can take him.
I bet he knows, but he also knows that he's going to get his ass whooped if we got in a brisket battle. So,
all right. Hey, good news for the Aggie, Shane. Well, yeah, good news, bad news, I guess. Bringing back both coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Klein as offensive coordinator. Again, that was a genius hire till it wasn't at the tail end of the season. I think he is, you know, if you're looking for storylines that we'll get to, how good of a coach is he? And when it comes to play calling on the offensive side of the football in the SEC, I still think he's solid. But this season, I think will be make or break. And we're bringing back defensive coordinator, even though it sounds like Coach Elko is really going to be the ones calling the plays, because last year's the end of the season was just a travesty.
It really was. It really was. And you know, I go back to when you had those coach rankings, and I feel a little bit better about that defense situation, knowing that Elko is going to be more involved. And you know, second year OC, I feel like that's also kind of a blessing here with, you know, some of those pieces coming back. Usually you see an uptick on the offense come year two of these guys.
Right. And you know, another blessing, Shane?
What's that?
Cousin Glenn. Come on, brother. Cuss. He is back. He's a member for 10 months, Shane. That's
hell yeah.
I mean, if you're sticking with us this long,
had a girlfriend stick around 10 months. So this is uncharted territory, man.
Cousin Glenn Warsaw, he says the best college football podcast. Be glad to be a member for 10 months. Boomer. Oh, yeah. Sooner. And he was nice enough, Shane.
Yeah.
To gift a membership. So he's not just himself a member. Hell he's gifted him this time to Cousin Charles. Charles,
Welcome to the family.
Courtesy, Cousin Glenn. I appreciate you, buddy.
Hell yeah, Glenn. Oh, man. The cousins are active here, you know?
Ashley Schaefer says, Cousin Shane's the nicest guy, but when it comes to damn Terminator, when it's the last slice of brisket.
Yeah. There's some family members I haven't talked to yet, you know? They ate the last deviled egg.
All right, so returning production, Shane, let's dive into that. And again, I don't know how they do it every year, Shane. Every year A&M is at the top of this list. I guess no one graduates from up there. I don't know, but once again, Shane, they're at the top of the list in the SEC. Over 64% of the offensive production from last year is back. That's number two in the SEC. 70% of the passing's back, thanks to Marcel Reed, who is our starter. Again, he started last year, but not the presumed starter going in. Now he'll have that big advantage. Rushing yards, over 85%. That's number three in the SEC, including our top four rushers are back from last year, Shane. Receiving yards, this is the questionable spot. Just 25.6% back from last year. That's 15th in the SEC. But, Shane, you got to love this. Offensive line, 87.5% returning snaps back. Number one in the SEC, bringing back all the hog mollies here. And if I'm an A&M fan, that's why I'm so excited, because that's our bread and butter, is running the football. When we were 7-1, we were dominant on the ground. If we can get back to that, this is going to be one heck of a year.
What did they used to call them? The Maroon Goons? Yeah, that's what I want to get back to. I want to get back to some just smash mouth offense, you know, stuff I grew up. I want it to look like East Tennessee football in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? No passes at all. Let's just keep handing the ball off. That's what they've kind of built in here, and that's why I'm excited about it. I know a lot of Aggie fans are excited just because of the returning production on that offensive line. So I couldn't beat any of those guys in eating brisket. I guarantee you right now.
Can you beat any of the defense, though, Shane? Again, we're pretty stout on the defensive side, too. 66.9% of the total defensive production from last year is back. That's number five in the SEC. Tackles, over 70%. That's number three in the SEC. Tackles for loss, over 59%. That's number eight in the SEC. 75% of our interceptions are back. That's number four in the SEC. Passes defended, over 76%. That's number two in the SEC. Defensive back snaps, over 74%. That's also number two in the SEC. And then defensive line snaps, 45.5% back. That's ninth in the SEC. So, you know, everywhere aside from the defensive line, really, we're in the top half of returning production on the defensive side of the football in the conference.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. You know, we just talked about this the other day with Kalen. It's tough to keep this much returning production, you know, after a year one. We usually kind of have a mass exit if things didn't go well. And I feel like things went well in College Station, but yeah, I'm kind of surprised by these numbers, Mike. I knew you talked about it earlier this season, but man, I'm kind of surprised at how much defense actually came back as well.
So again, and then we get to supplement it now with the transfer portal, Shane, where we didn't have a ton of defections. Well, we had 24 out, but 14 in.
Yeah.
And hell, all the guys we lost, they weren't bought into the program. They couldn't play here. You know what I mean? So this is the first time, Shane, that On3 and 24/7 have ever agreed on a transfer ranking. They're both ranked this the number 11th transfer portal class in the country. With the big name, Shane, receiver Kevin Concepcione, who apparently A&M beat out Alabama to get. Ooh. Concepcione, who was, he had 124 catches, 1,300 yards, 16 touchdowns in two seasons at NC State. He's going to slide right into the slot, bringing in some help in the defensive backfield. Jordan Shaw at Washington, Julian Humphrey from Georgia. He was a former five-star. And we're bringing in, I love that we're bringing in receivers and defensive linemen, Shane, because those are the two areas that we need an impact in College Station. And the fact that you address your needs, that's exactly what the portal is for, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And I'm looking there at Amari. Third time's a charm, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's no doubt about
it. This has got to be the one, right? I do like the ads, you know, because it felt to me year one, Elko just kind of grabbed what he could grab. It felt a little bit more organized. It felt a little bit more specific in this portal. Went out, got some guys, shored up some positions that they were kind of banged up last year. So I love this strategy here, and they got some big names, brother. There's going to be some guys down here on this list right here that we're talking about at the end of the year going to the draft.
Yeah. And I just, anytime I'm doing these, again, number 11 transfer portal class, so it's not like it's like they didn't bring in guys.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you don't have to bring in 25, 30, 40 guys. You know what I mean? So you're bringing in a little over a dozen, and we'll get to the projected depth chart. But most of these guys, not all of them, but most of them project at least day one to be backups, which that tells me that you got a pretty stout starting group.
Oh, yeah. Stout.
So
we're stout. This is a stout podcast, huh?
So let's jump into it. So here's the projected starting offense for them. Texas A&M, Aggie, Shane, and again, not, you know, again, there is some maroon there. So those are the transfers, and then the bolds are starters, but there's a tons of bolds here. I mean, virtually everyone outside of the receiver room is a returning starter for Texas A&M on the offensive side of the football. So who's the best of the group, I think? I think it's the offensive line, Shane. When we're bringing back Trey Zune, Chase Basantis, Armaj Reed Adams, Demetrius Crownover, and I'm going to butcher this, but Kalunu Faui, you know what I mean? I mean, just a name like that, you are destined to be on the offensive line in the SEC. And even backups like Reuben Fathertree, Mark Nabuse, these are guys that have played football in this conference, and they're backups. So I love this offensive line. I think they're going to be the backbone of this team.
I really need to just sit down one weekend and learn these damn names. You know, me and ChatGPT need to get together and figure out how to pronounce half these names. Yeah, there's some dudes. And what I like about it is, like I said, it's Texas A&M usually has one or two stars that we talk about throughout the season. I feel like we're going to have several at the end of this year. I think at Concepcion, that was such a pivotal get, and I such a big piece of this offense. I'm already kind of imagining what this offense is going to look like with him out there.
Yeah, and don't forget Terry Bussey, who was he was an elite prospect.
Oh, yeah.
He's a sophomore. They brought him in, and they didn't know exactly where to put him. He was getting reps at running back. He was getting reps at receiver. So this is the first year, Shane, where he's all receiver, all offseason and all fall camp. So that could really help a young player like a Terry Bussey, he's got more talent than any of them down there. But I wanted to highlight a cousin here, Shane. Cousin Cameron Williams gave us $20 for you, Shane. He says, on the tractor, but got to tune into the best football podcast. I got another 20 on Shane in the Shane versus Elko. Man, we're doing A&M. Everybody's betting against Elko, but as long as they provide some funds, I'm fine with it. You know what?
By the time I see him at media day, so I'm going to be like, are we going to do this or not? You know, like, what the hell are you talking about? Get security out.
So we appreciate you, Cameron. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz.
All right, back to the offense, though, here, Shay. So, again, offensive line, give me the big uglies always.
Yeah.
The special place in my heart for the big men like us. But running backs, I very easily could have went running back, Shane, because we got Le'Veon Moss back. He was a beast last year, over 6 yards per carry. How do you get a starting running back in this conference average over 6 yards per carry? That's insane, plus 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Amari Daniels, he showed out last year. E.J. Smith is back from last year. And, you know, this very few running back groups in the conference go three deep with this quality.
No. So that's your number one spot, right?
Number two is running backs. Number one is offensive line, but they go hand in hand.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was going to say, how close were you? Because I really do like this running back room, but it's kind of hard to have a good running back room and a bad offensive line. So like you said, it's kind of like a marriage here. So you were close to going either way here.
Yeah. I almost went running back, but I was trying to win you over. I figured offensive line, you'd get mad at me if I didn't go with them.
Well, I was just setting you up, see where you went. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, the big uglies. Anytime we got an opportunity to put them out there, I think that's where I'm going to go. So look at these guys. These are absolute monsters, man.
And then next, I'm going receivers and tight ends.
Yeah.
I could have easily went quarterbacks here too, Shay. But again, all the talent that we brought in via the transfer portal, I'm throwing in Amari Nyblack as well from the tight end position. So this is a little bit of a gamble. I'm hoping that these guys hit. If they all hit, we're going to have one hell of a receiver room, but it doesn't always work that way in the Southeastern Conference. But a lot of talent, some nice depth here at the receiver room here in College Station. So that means last. This guy gets so much disrespect, it's crazy, Shane. I'm going quarterbacks last, but it's not really because of Marcell Reed. For me, we had to go to UAB to get Jacob Zinu, who I'm sure he only played four games last year.
Yeah.
But that's essentially our backup. We got a couple freshmen we really like. I'm a little scared about what we have behind Marcell Reed, given how much he is likely going to run in this offense. I'm not saying they don't have a backup. I'm just saying I don't know anything about the backups they currently have.
Yeah, I do worry about that. But again, I also like the fact that Marcell Reed is not really competing with anybody. You know, this time last year, we weren't expecting Reed to be the guy. But I feel like that bodes well for the start of the season. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And oh my gosh, Shane, they're calling me out. Well, not calling me out, but questioning in the comments. Reuben Owens, too, at running back, former five-star,
yeah,
who missed a lot of the last year. I meant to mention him as well. He's talented enough. He may beat out Le'Veon Moss. I don't think it's really going to be like, well, one guy's a starter, he gets all the carries. I think they're going to split it up, Moss and Reuben Owens and Daniels and hell, Marcell Reed and E.J. Smith. So, I mean, just add another elite name to the running back. There's so many damn good running backs. I forgot one.
Ideal, that's what you want, too. You know, these are the guys you want to lean in the third and fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? You don't want Marcell Reed to win the game. You want these guys to keep the lead and keep the chains moving. So, yeah, hell, they're going to have a committee.
Hey, they're wanting you to wear, we should make a design of you. The problem is, I don't know if we can make a shirt with Coach Elko on it and not get sued. But maybe we can make one and print it, then take it down. But maybe
Elko wear that ain't to be. Played nobody.
All right, let's get to the defense, Shade. And again, so we're seeing some maroon here, right? But
yeah.
And again, this is not finalized or anything like that. But I project all the transfers to be backups. So depth, quality depth here. I really like the defensive backs. Number one here for the Texas A&M Aggies, Shane, with returning starters Will Lee, Des Ricks. Remember the blanket, Will Lee. How can we forget the blanket? Des Ricks is back. Dalton Brooks, Marcus Ratliff. We are so stacked at defensive back. We got guys that started last year that may have to come off the bench this year because we got Tyreek Chappelle back. He was a promising, I believe he was all freshman SEC. He got hurt last year, unfortunately, but he's good to go. Bryce Anderson has got a lot of talent down there as well. So love, love, love these defensive backs. And they're adding, again, some transfers to kind of, if they can't get it done, we got someone willing to take your job via transfer. So very, very talented and very, very deep defensive back group here.
Can I ask you on the secondary is like, and you don't have to be specific, but 16 teams, where would you put this secondary? Like toward the top, you know, first tier, second tier, top situation, or, you know, I'm just trying to get a kind of temperature gauge here with you.
I was about to say top five, but that might be a little too rich.
Yeah.
Top seven. Give me top seven with the potential to be a lot higher.
Okay. All right. Well, you hate this defense. All right, just making sure.
And then in this defense, Shane, we only put two linebackers on the field.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, we got a good one, Shane and Terry and York. He may be the best linebacker in the conference. I know that's a bold statement, but he is that outstanding. Scooby Williams is back, started a ton of games for us. So
yeah,
really like these linebackers. And then the last position group is defensive line. Remember, we sent three guys to the NFL.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where these guys are at now. Again, we're bringing in a bunch of transfers to kind of shore that up. Cassius Howell, every time Mike Elko speaks, he talks about what a breakout potential Howell has at defensive end. DJ Hicks was one of the elite defensive linemen in all the country a year ago. He got 13 games under his belt. So we got some big, big time breakout potential in this defensive line. And if they don't work out, Shane, we'll just go get a guy TJ Searcy, who started 2 years at Florida. We got Tyler O'Needham, who started 2 years, or excuse me, 1 year at Iowa State. And then we'll just take one of Deion's most promising linemen. So bring them all down here, Shane, and we got one hell of a collection of defensive linemen, too.
Yeah, and they're going to need some rotation here, and this is the group that we need some dudes to step up. You know what I'm saying? If A&M's going to hit that ceiling, ultimately that ceiling, I feel like this is the one department that we've got to have some major growth this offseason. So, yeah, I'm very interested to see these guys week one.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, let's get into the schedule. Oh wait, real quick, kicker, got to mention.
Oh, there they are.
This is one of the few teams we didn't have to go to transfers because we're bringing them back, Chase. We got Randy Bond back, made 20 of 24 last year, including some big-time kicks late in the season. He was a Lou Groza Award semifinalist, so literally one of the best kickers in the country. Love to see that. And then Tyler White at punter, but we ain't going to be punting, so don't even need him. You know what?
Nah, get you another defensive line. Just get rid of the punter. You got Randy. I mean, how many Randys are running around in college these days? What's this kid, 40? What? You doing taxes on the weekend?
All right, so biggest camp questions, though, Shane.
Yeah.
How much better can this team get year two under Mike Elko and this coaching staff? And I think the million-dollar question, who's the real A&M? Was it the one that started 7-1? Was it the team that lost three of their final four?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think those are fair questions to ask. And I think that's the biggest thing looming over this program right now.
Yeah. Tell of two halves. I like that. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Which one was real?
Speaking of Jekyll versus Hyde.
Come on now.
Mr. Sip gave us $20. Appreciate
Hell
you.
Hell yeah.
Sip. Would Cracker Barrel sponsor Shane versus Elko?
State.
Oh, I would love to see it. I would absolutely. Boy, State is representing today, huh? That's two big ones. Maybe we should move
from
them up
the
in
Cracker Barrel. Here's cousin Shane.
Maybe we got to reach out to him. You know what?
It's tough, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I love Cracker Barrel, and they have a lot of lean suggestions. You know that I think they got a skinny. One of them, you know, skinny things that they do.
Trying menus. To get healthy.
Yeah. But, you know, when you go in there and you got these biscuits sitting there, it's like a gateway drug. Next thing you know, I've got my damn country fried steak back on the table. So I'm a little worried about going there. I'm just kind of like steering clear. I'm going to appreciate more in the fall, but right now it's not. Maybe to-go orders is what I need. Go get something lean. Do not go in. Don't get the biscuits. Come back out.
Yeah, they don't have protein shakes and salad there, huh?
No. But they do have, the last time I had grilled chicken tenderloins and they weren't bad. Just wasn't enough. Didn't scratch that itch, you know?
All right. Now here's another huge question. I'm already seeing it in the comments. This is a question everybody's got about A&M going into the year, Shane. Mm-hmm. Marcel Reed. And again, I think he's solid. But what does he look like when he's getting all the reps, all the first team reps? How much does that help his game? Because I think a lot of people think he's not good. I don't know why they think that. I guess because they lost, you know, at the tail end of the season. But
yeah,
hell, he lost to Lenore Sellers. He lost to Mighty Texas. Everybody lost to Texas. And even the bowl game they lost, which was basically inexcusable considering it was Lincoln Riley and Southern Cal. But he let them. To the winning touchdown. What happened was the defense just completely collapsed. That's not on Marcel Reed. So
he can't play it over there, you know.
And at Auburn, I mean, they got down 21-0 on the road, allegedly the greatest environment of all sports history, 21-0 because of the defense. And then he leads them all the way to overtime. And he threw, last I checked, Shane, he threw a pass, hit a guy in the end zone for the 2-point conversion, guy dropped it.
Yeah.
That ain't on Marcel Reed. You know what? So what's this guy going to look like, though, now that he is QB1, he's getting all the reps? I think there's massive potential for him this fall.
Potential. Yes. I there's a handful of quarterbacks in this league that I feel like has an extremely high ceiling. This is one of them. It's the floor we're worried about. Where's that at? You know, is the 4 or 8 wins, we need it to be 9-10 wins. We need to have a quarterback down here that they've not had. I mean, Texas A&M's had those guys come through, and we've created storylines, and we've, you know, since Johnny Manziel, we've just not had that guy come in and take us to the next level. Is Reed the guy? I don't know. He has the potential, but he's got a lot to prove in this season with Texas A&M.
Yeah. Hey, shout out cousin Chris. Shane, he says, not again. Cousin Robert says, state fans, they're just paying because they want us to forget their prediction. And Steven Up says, food conversation average every 10 minutes.
That's right. I can feel Mike trying to rein me in, you know.
and someone asked us, is Marcel Reed a top five quarterback in the conference? I wouldn't go that far. And there's a big reason. Final question mark for A&M going into fall camp.
Yeah.
Who's going to step up at receiver? So we're bringing in transfers. We got Bussey in his year two. I mean, there's reasons to believe in them, right?
Yeah.
But we can sit here and make excuses. You know, this guy's going to do that. We can do that for every team.
Yeah.
They got to go out there and do it. So fair or not, I don't think you could put Marcel into the top five because he's going to need that help.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell me they got one all SEC player and they got one of the best sophomores in the SEC, I'm buying it. But
yeah,
I don't know that yet. Who steps up to help him out? I think that's a huge question mark in College Station.
And going to need it. Going to need some dudes to step up, absolutely. And, again, I go back to the defense. I know it sounds crazy to talk defense with offense here, but you got to give them short field. You got to create turnovers. You got to give them opportunities or help him fix mistakes that he made out there. You know, so sometimes it's a good defense that helps that offense run as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's the updated schedule, Shane, here. The over-under. Then fighting Texas A&M Aggies, 7.5 going into the year. The odds to win the SEC, 15-1. And the odds to win the national championship, 36-1. This is a little sleeper here. There's good value odds on some of these that, I don't know, Shane, I'm feeling pretty good. All right, so now let's play the game, Shane. Well, win, loss, or toss. I'm going to throw it up here. I'm getting fun with these animations here, Shane. So win, loss, or toss, this is how I see it. 8 games that should be wins for them Texas A&M Aggies. We'll throw that up there one more time. I got UTSA at home, Utah State at home, Auburn at home, Mississippi State at home, at Arkansas, at Missouri, South Carolina at home, Samford at home. So I got 8 that should be wins. Thoughts on that?
God, you and them damn Florida Gators. You know, I mean, did they? No, they got smoked in the swamp last year, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M lost, right?
No.
They went down to the number one. Yeah. That's what you were saying. The most dangerous place to play in Gainesville. They went down there and they got a lot. No, they got a win. So that should be a win. That's the only thing I would change. Everything else looks pretty good.
Okay, so 9 potential wins.
Yeah.
Or should be wins. That's interesting.
This is a sweet little schedule, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we're so quick to talk about Mizzou and Tennessee and Ole Miss, but I mean, A&M's got a pretty damn easy, not easy. I mean, it's never, nothing's easy when you got SEC teams on your schedule, but as of now, I'm really liking this schedule.
So I got a lot of tosses, Shane. I got 5 tosses here at Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
Florida at home, which you don't, you got that as a win, at LSU and at Texas. So, excuse me. I have 4 toss ups here. Do you disagree with any of those that should be maybe just a loss?
I had the Florida as a win, but no. Not right now.
I know you want to change
one.
Go ahead and change it. Go ahead and change it. Butter them up.
No. We good. We're rolling with it.
Okay. So Let's get into a game-by-game prediction.
Yes.
For Texas A&M. And if it's your first time watching, how we do this, we're doing this kind of best-case scenario. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's concerns we have about A&M that we feel like they have been answered. You know, this is kind of an optimistic outlook of the season. A little bit, we used to call it homer takes. But I'm trying not to be super homer, because otherwise I just go 12-0 every damn team. So this is optimistic, best case. That makes sense, right, Shane?
Yes, it makes sense. That little asterisk is more for me than you guys. It's like, they can't go undefeated. They can't all go undefeated, Shane. Absolutely. I look at it like a ceiling. This is the best case scenario. This is where we're going to land.
Right. And I don't care what happens, Shane.
Yeah.
We're whooping UTSA right off the floor. Get the hell out of here. This is a garbage team, Shane, that they went 7-6 and they lost. I read 44-15. In the Myrtle Beach Bowl, and I said, yeah, they ain't got a shot.
Yeah, you remember when the Roadrunners, what was it, 2 years ago, everybody was talking about, watch this team, a special team, and then they kept getting smoked, and then everybody took their players at the end of the year. Guess what? Those players ain't there. Yes, this is a win.
Well, you can say the same thing for Utah State, except I don't think they got any players to steal, Shane. No. 2-0, we're cruising to 2-0 in College Station.
Special place in my heart, Utah State. It used to be one of my go-to NCAA games that I would always pick, but they're definitely coming away with a loss here. So or a win, 2-0.
Sorry. Yeah. Now here's where it gets tricky, Shane. This is nationally televised, NBC. They already announced it's going to be a night game at Notre Dame, Shane, who of course, you know, luck of the Irish, every 20, 30 years, whatever it is, they make a run. But can they do it 2 years in a row? I don't know. I like this Marcus Freeman. I think he's a solid coach. If he keeps coaching as well as he's doing, Shane, he'll be in the SEC before we know it. You know, he'll be at one of these schools. So they went 14-2 last year, beat A&M 23-13 in College Station. So I'm a little nervous. Our buddy Steven Lassen, Athlon Sports, they've got Notre Dame number 6 in the preseason. Might be on that cornbread. And he's got him going to the college football playoff, Shane. I say all that to say this ain't going to be easy. You're probably going to be underdogs. But this is when we start winning hearts because we're beating the Irish, Shane. They ain't doing it 2 years in a row. I ain't buying that bullshit, are you?
No, I mean, it's tough because the last time we've talked Notre Dame football. Uh-oh. What's up?
Can't hear you.
Me? I can hear me. I'm going to keep rolling. Did you mute me? Most likely. All right. If you can hear me, give me a thumbs up. If you can't, then I'll shut up. So anyway, I'm going to roll with it. So I think the problem I have with Notre Dame is, saying here's both. John, thank you, John. Appreciate it. So what I have a problem with is the last time we've seen Notre Dame in the SEC, it's not been good. We look at the Georgia matchup. We look at the you with me here, man? Got me all over the place. I look at the last Texas A&M matchup. There's no reason, in my opinion, that Notre Dame should have won those games, but they did find a way to do so. So can it happen? Yeah. But I could also be 200 pounds. I just ain't getting there today. So give me another win. For them Texas A&M Aggies, ain't no way they're going to lose to Notre Dame. And I think it's just going to be close. It's on the road. I care what you say. It'll be a hostile environment, Elko and company. I probably would have leaned the other way if this were year one on the road. But the fact that we're year two, seasoned quarterback, seasoned offensive line, something you can kind of lean in on. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about that situation. So but anyway, now that I got you guys here, I can't say it. Here comes Mike.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we just can't see you. Just can't see you, Mike. I mean, good God, did we just start a YouTube channel or what?
I see myself on the screen.
There he is. There he is. Pay your cable bill.
Oh, I started yelling and then I couldn't hear anything.
No, you're good. You're good. You're back. I was just telling you that Notre Dame's going to have an ale here. Good game though. I don't think this is a blowout. This may be one of those games that comes down to the fourth quarter, but what I was talking about is the style of offense that Elko's going to be running, I think is really important for environments like this one, because this is one you could just take the crowd right out of it if you just stay on the damn football field the entire time. And I feel like that's what they do this year. So yeah, we're starting out 3-0, 4-0.
Jeez Louise says, Shane, go solo. Cousin Tony says, Mike went for a bourbon shot. Aggie Land says, you're on your own, Shane.
Did you see my face get red? Blood pressure spiked. Didn't know what to do. Didn't know what to do with my hands.
All right, so, hey, now week four. This is where it's really going to get interesting.
Yeah.
Because I don't give a damn about Notre Dame. I don't, you know, they don't matter. But then we get into SEC play, Shane. And Auburn. Auburn comes to town. This is going to be a huge game, I think, for both these teams. Because mm-hmm. both these teams are expecting to take that jump. Year two for Mike Elko. Year three for Hugh Freeze. Last year, Auburn got it done. Overtime was a classic game. Just got done watching it. And
yeah,
man, what a game. What a game. Shane's high on Auburn. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to pick Hugh Freeze to luck this one out. But Hugh Freeze on the road. Come on, we're going 4-0. I am worried about it a little bit, but I'm not as optimistic on Auburn as you.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's the problem I am. You know, I do think that this is an Auburn football team that if you're just looking wins and losses last year, you crown them as a shitty team, but I saw moments, I saw flashes, and I think that's why everyone got so frustrated with Hugh Freeze, not because they lost some of those games, but because of how they blame people and mistakes. But there was mistakes being made. And I think it gets cleaned up here in the offseason. They got better. This is a talented football team, and this is two programs expecting to win. Auburn has to get this one. If Auburn loses this game, then that whole narrative, Hugh Freeze may be the guy, goes right out the window. Elko, it is important for him to win, but I don't think it ends his contract. I don't think they start looking for another coach if they drop it. But optimistically, that being said, there's no reason Texas A&M cannot win this football game. I also have them starting out 4-0.
Whoa. So one area, though, of concern, yep. Or maybe not concern, because it's like a strength on strength, mm-hmm. but it's going to be will be fun to watch Auburn's receivers. I guess A&M secondary.
Ooh, yeah.
Auburn's receivers, and they've added a transfer that, you know, we'll get to them on the Auburn preview, but they look to be significantly better than even last year.
Yes.
And they smoked this secondary. So this is going to be a real test. I think this will be the first test of A&M secondary. And if they are they not ready for the challenge, they will lose this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Can't argue with you, Mike.
But they ain't losing week. To Mississippi State, go 5-0, Shane again. I Mississippi State can't stop the run. We are a running machine here in College yeah. Station. So this probably one of the worst matchups. Mississippi State. I'm not saying, you know, I know they play Georgia, they play Texas, but this matchup is a nightmare for Mississippi State.
It really is. Pull the tractor over, because Cameron, this one is not going to be pretty. Because, like you said, the matchup. Mississippi State's going to want to run fast. They're going to want to be explosive, and A&M's going to do the exact opposite. This could be a good game. Realistic. I believe there's a few that I'm going to have circled when we get to state that are going to be opportunities to get an SEC win. This one is. I feel like this is a classic trap. This is one that A&M fans are going to be overlooking. A&M players are going to be overlooking. You got to be careful with this one, but I do have Texas A&M coming away with another victory.
Mm-hmm. Now, it really gets interesting, Shane. Because you know I love them Florida Gators. And they're coming to town, Shane. They ain't got the swamp to help them. But they do got DJ Lagway, who's from Texas. He's from not far from old College Station. So this is a little bit of a homecoming. Mm-hmm. He's going to want to show out for his family. And I get it. You're right. You're 100% right, Shane. They got whooped last year in the swamp. But the flip. They've flipped the switch. They have flipped it. Now, Shane thinks it's a house of cards.
Yeah.
But Maybe it's a house of cement. I don't know, Shane. We'll find out because Florida will have faced at LSU, at Miami, Texas, at home. I mean, they could be devastated, destroyed by this point in time. I don't know. I almost like Florida better in this football game. I really do, Shane, because I think they're going to be much, much better team. But they're losing in this one, Shane. And it's, again, slight edge, I would think, to Florida, but we're getting it at home. And they're coming off the gauntlet. I mean, just real quick, I don't want to highlight everybody else's schedule, but it just at LSU, at Miami, Texas, before this one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to take a lot for you to get up off the mat and turn around with 100,000 Aggies screaming at you and come away with a win. I don't see it.
I can't believe I saw it with my own eyes, Mike picking Florida to lose a damn football game this year. And it's not going to be like last year. I felt like there was a little bit of, I mean, it was just so chaotic when these two teams met last year. They were going two different ways. And by the end of the season, if these two teams would have met, I probably would have gave Florida that game, you know, just because the way A&M was playing and the way of Florida. This is going to be a good matchup, but you can't go down there in College Station. I can't see it. But, Mike, I'd be lying if I told you, if I thought best case scenario would be undefeated at this point. I feel like we got a loss here. Ooh. And yeah.
Are you buying the Billy Napier hype now?
It's not so much Florida. I want to be completely transparent here. I'm also looking at Auburn. I feel like there's a game somewhere in here that we miss. Again, Elko will show improvement. Texas A&M is going to show improvement, but they're not perfect yet. And I feel like best case scenario, if we've just got one loss, we're doing pretty damn good here. So I'm going to go ahead and put the brakes on this undefeated season and say, we got us a loss here.
No, that makes sense. So basically they're both 50-50 games.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I it's a coin toss, and if I'm being optimistic, I'm probably going to give it to A&M, but again, it wouldn't blow my mind if one of those teams beat them. So I gotta be honest here. One of those are going to get them.
Okay. Oh, how about the next one on the road at Arkansas? This is the first time in a good while that Arkansas has been able to host this game. It's been at Jerry World, and then the COVID year, A&M got to host it. So Arkansas finally gets this thing back. Maybe that'll be what swings it in their favor. But, man, this is one of the curses of all curses in this conference. There's a couple, you know, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Auburn. So there's a couple around here. This is certainly one of them. I got to see it before I'll ever pick it again. And I picked it about six times, probably. Give me A&M to go on the road. 7-0, Shane. Dream season. Kind of like last year. I think they beat Arkansas, even though it is at Arkansas.
And to be honest, would probably be one of the toughest SEC blows if they lost this one, because they're so used to winning. And sometimes those are the roughest. I as a diehard Vol fan, I remember more about the one loss we had against Kentucky or Vanderbilt than the 17 wins we had prior. You know, it's like that one just haunts you. And Arkansas desperately fighting, Sam Pittman fighting for his damn life every single Saturday. Going to be a tough game. Not going to just be a blowout, in my opinion, but I'm going to give it to A&M here.
Ooh, I like it. Now, do you like this though, Shane? Going on the road, LSU. I know how you feel about them Tigers this year. And this was kind of the game that derailed LSU. Well, there was a couple in reality. But this was an epic showdown. And it felt like the winner of this game last year, LSU at A&M. We were saying, man, the winner, they're a lock. They are a lock for the playoff. Of course, we couldn't have been more wrong. But this has become one of the better, most fierce rivalries in this conference. You know, there's been fist fights. There's been Gatorade baths prematurely. There's all kinds of madness in this series. A&M, LSU. But again, optimistically, Shane, we're sitting here potentially at 7-0. Mm-hmm. And even you're saying 6-1, which is still a hell of a record. You're still fully in complete control of your playoff fate here. If you were to tell me that A&M's going 7-0 coming into Tiger Stadium, you know what I'm telling you?
What?
They're probably walking into a buzzsaw. Give me, I think LSU, too much to beat at home. I think the undefeated dream comes to an end.
This is, I mean, you know, LSU, I feel like, I mean, they got absolutely hosed last year. They got so embarrassed. This is when we really started piling in on Coach Kelly and the pressure. And this is where Coach Kelly started showing some of that, some of those wrinkles, you know? I mean, it wasn't much later that he's talking about, well, next year we're going to compete for a national championship, you know, and we're going to – and a couple months later he's giving some of his own damn money. It's, I think a lot of it had to do with going to College Station and just getting hosed. So – this is going to be a really, really good football game, but it's going to be a different football game because it's going to be down there in Death Valley. So give me another loss here for Texas A&M.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if I'm right, and I don't think LSU is as good as some or other, I mean, this is still, I mean, we all know it, one of the toughest places to play.
Yeah.
And I think you nailed it. The payback from last year.
Right.
This is going to be one of the games LSU has circled. So can you win it? Sure. But I wouldn't bet on it, if that makes sense.
No, but what is really great about this game is it's back and forth. That's what I love about rivalries, is when it's not lopsided. This is not a lopsided. I mean, every other year there's a different team winning this thing. So that's kind of why I went with that narrative as well.
Stephen Up says this is the double cousin curse. And then I don't know specifically what this is in reference to, but Cousin Tony says Shane needs a mustard bath. If he's, remember you did the mayo bath. Mustard
bath?
We
didn't do mustard. I don't know. We don't need any more condiments at this house. That was embarrassing.
I'll get the construction boys come back over.
Man, they're still talking about that damn story. Oh, our God.
Now, you tell me if I'm wrong, Shay, because the next game at Missouri.
Yeah.
Is that a trap game? I don't know. I just don't know what to make of Missouri. I think they naturally are going to take a step back after winning 21 games the last couple of years. And last year, the damn blanket game. I mean, this was a complete blowout. You know, year to year, things can change, but it's just so hard for me to wipe that from my memory. I think A&M's better than they were last year. I think Missouri is not as good as they were last year. So I don't even know how – I'm not saying it's going to be another blowout, but I'm confident that A&M wins this one by at least a touchdown. Am I crazy?
Yeah, probably. I mean, this there's a lot of things that can happen up to this point. You know what I'm saying? And – you know, we're talking about best case scenario for A&M. Well, I can't sit over here on the A&M fall camp preview and give you also Mizzou's best case scenario, that they hit on their quarterback, that this is truly the most talented team that Coach Drink has ever coached, you know, the deepest team, the best running game. You know, there's a lot of that smoke that's starting to brew around Columbia, and I'm sure when we do their camp preview, I'll probably – buy it hook, line, and sinker. But at this moment, I've got to pick one. I saw where it went last year. I saw, even though it's on the road this season, I got to give A&M. That was just too clear cut of a victory for me to just say, you know, we're 1 year away from making this game competitive.
Mm-hmm. Now, the only thing I would say, and again, I know we're trying to do A&M preview here, but if I'm a Mizzou fan, I say, well, hell, we were prepped for Marcel Reed. This was the game they threw Connor Wigman back in there.
Yeah.
And he looked like $1 million. I don't think he's ever looked better. And then he lost his job the next week. So I don't know.
It was like, and if you rewatch that game, and I'm sure A&M fans have, it is probably one of the most perfect football games offensively I've ever seen. Like every mistake that was made was capitalized by some fluke or not. I don't want to say fluke. It was just perfect. It was
you
like
got all the breaks.
Yes, absolutely, man.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a deal with the devil.
Well,
they cashed it in on that game.
They did, but the devil came due the next game, Shane, because South Carolina whooped them good. Yes. And everything we said about the LSU-A&M game circled, payback game. That's how I'm feeling about this one with South Carolina coming to College Station. We had about 19 opportunities to sack Lenore Sellers, and he went full beast mode on us and broke damn near every tackle in that football game. They kind of punked us. If you remember, he was breaking tackles like it was like it was going out of style. You know what I mean?
So
if you don't man up, you don't show up for this game, I'm calling out your manhood. Give me A&M. I think they beat South Carolina because I think it's personal.
It is. It is. They play for a trophy. I don't know what it is, but, you know, it's not about that anymore with these guys. This is and to their credit, I love South Carolina because of this. It's just they love to talk shit, man. They just love it. And sometimes it backfires on you, and sometimes it's just pure entertainment. You know, you could just jump on after an upset. Like this Texas A&M, oh, my gosh, you want entertainment? Jump on Twitter and just watch the conversations being made. So, yes, it becomes personal because of things like that. They both got very personal coaches, you know. They're very hands-on, you know. They bleed off the energy of their players. So, there's going to be a lot riding on this game. And last year was embarrassing for Texas A&M, and I think they get it right this season. So, give me another victory for them Aggies.
Yeah, well, you know who else got it right, Shane?
Who's that?
Xavier.
Come on, cuz.
Just became a member of the channel. Xavier, welcome
to the family.
We appreciate you, buddy. All right, so then, I mean, we don't even have to waste time on old Sanford. I mean, boom, that's an easy one, right?
Yeah, very easy. This is a good one to, if you are going to do a fall wedding, plan it around this one. No, I'm just kidding. It's not allowed.
All right, so then the showdown of all showdowns. In the Lone Star State, Shane, Texas, on the road in Austin.
Yes.
Buddy, imagine for a second here, if it plays out the way I'm saying, and we are 10-1, and go back and check out our Texas preview, you know, they're, in my mind, they're 10-1 at this point in time, too.
Yeah.
So this may be the best game in all of college football next season if it plays out this way. Once again, playoff hopes potentially on the line. SEC championship game hopes certainly on the line. Man, this could be an epic, epic showdown. And one I can't wait for, Shane. But, God, I don't even know if I can do this on an A&M show, Shane. But,
oh!
I think it's a lot. I think it's a lot. Just, if it was in College Station, of course, I said that last year. But I'm going with the home field. I think that's the only difference here.
Oh, that's the only difference.
Yeah.
Like, they're playing at Walmart, you'd still pick Texas. So here's the thing. I do think this game was I hate how it turned out last season. I really was hoping for a closer football game, a fun football game, exciting football game. There were some moments in this game that were great, but not worth the wait. But we got all that out of the way. You know, that first season's done. Now we can really get back into this rivalry. And this is where I think we're going to have some of that back and forth. Brother, there's no reason that on a perfect night, Texas A&M cannot beat Texas. There's definitely on the board. But again, Texas is absolutely loaded. Depth was a concern for me with A&M last year because of how they imploded. Texas has, I feel like, has more of it. Even though A&M has taken some steps forward, I still believe Texas has got them beating that department. And when I'm looking at these late rivalry games, that's kind of what I look into. Like you said, home field advantage. So as much as I want to give it to the Maggies, I've got another loss for them. So I got them 9-3 right now.
Yeah, so optimistically, again, you got them knocking at the playoff once again.
Yep.
I think at 10-2.
They're in.
I think they'd be a lock to get in with this schedule.
Absolutely. They're in, and hell, Aggie fans probably happy I don't have them in. You know? Might as well book your tickets to Atlanta because you're going.
So this one was a little bit tricky to do too, Shane. Most important games for A&M. You let me know if you agree, disagree. I think until further notice, Texas got to be number one just because of the rivalry, just because of how long we've waited for that game and the way last year showed, you know, was such a disappointment. Texas is number one for me. I could have that wrong. Florida at home, I got that number two because I think that'll be a kind of similar to Auburn.
Yeah.
You know, you could throw an LSU in here. You could throw a South Carolina, even a road trip to Missouri. But I think Florida and Auburn, kind of like you said, 50-50 toss-up games. They're at home. You take care of your home games. Even if you lose to LSU, at LSU, even if you lose at Texas, I think if you take care of these two home games, I think you're going to the college football playoff.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying you're wrong here, because I do think Texas is a very, very important football game. But I do like these other two options, Florida, Auburn. These are the ones that kind of, if you drop them, hell, you could even put Notre Dame in there.
Yeah.
I feel like it changes a little bit of the narrative down there. There's an opportunity to really gain some momentum early in this schedule. And Auburn and Notre Dame in particular are games they cannot afford to lose, in my opinion, to have a successful season, to be in a race for the playoffs toward the end of the year. They got to get that early stuff out. So, I'm disagreeing slightly with you, but not substantially.
Hey, we got Cousin Lou's back, Shane.
Cousin Lou.
Yes, sir. Thank you, cousins. We're not losing to them.
Yeah, if they're undefeated, Lou, we're coming to the booth with you.
And then we got Kyle G. Shane, he gave us $20. Appreciate you, buddy. Gamecocks making it to the SEC championship. What you playing?
Oh, I love it. I love it, man. This is what it's all about right here, man. Already chirping. What are we, June 19th? Golly, we got football right around the corner, boys and girls, right around the damn corner.
Yeah, and I hope these fall previews are getting you geared up for the season. Yes. That's kind of the whole point of doing them. A little deep dive before we get into media days, and because that'll be here before you know it, and then the season's really here. You know what?
Yeah, yeah, media days right around the corner, and then right after that, they start showing up. We start having practice, and we got videos. We got coaches talking. It ain't just list anymore. We got some real content. We're almost there. Just hang in there. Just enjoy it while you can. Get all the golfing out while you can.
Hey, cousin Steve it up. He says, they just put the double cousin curse on the Longhorns. I didn't even think of that. And Aggieland 79 said, the cousin's drunk on that Cracker Barrel gravy. We saw them horns this year.
Sawmill gravy.
All right, anything else, buddy, before we hop off the line?
No, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. I look forward to seeing you guys Sunday. Sunday, we're not doing a preview. We're going to have a normal show. Right. We're going to talk on all the teams, so be sure to check that out. Smart Guy will be here Monday, and then Tuesday, we're doing Cousin JR's team, Georgia Bulldogs. Right now, Mississippi State's in lead for the day after.
No. We said Florida already.
Who the hell said Florida?
I did.
Nah, God. See, when I go away, Florida sneaks in there. Sorry, Nate.
Let me ask you one final thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm liking asking this now, like I did yesterday. Scale 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high. Texas A&M makes the playoff. How big of a surprise is that to Cousin Shane? 1 being low, 10 being high.
8.4.
Ooh, no!
Oh,
how dare you? I wish I could block you for that comment.
I would be surprised. I wouldn't be. I probably shouldn't say 8. I probably should say 7. Around 7 or 8. I'm right there. It just depends on a lot of things going their way. I love the schedule. I love the style of offense I'm expecting to see here. Elko taking over the defense could be a good thing, but it also could be a bad thing, in my opinion. I really like when head coaches aren't too involved with one side of the football, because I feel like you lose something. It's almost like you lose some of the energy somewhere else. And those mistakes, if they creep up, it could cost you in a game like Auburn or Notre Dame or something like that. So, but all in all, the fans are hungry. The fans are ready to win. And, you know, I just feel like I feel like Elko's the guy. I've said that about several A&M coaches, but – There's just something. I think he fits this mold of what they're trying to create down there. And my expectations aren't too high on Elko year two. Next year's the year. Next year's the year we got to do something. But I do want to see some improvement, obviously, this season.
I'm going to go five because I think it's about 50-50. How about that? But I think it's good that neither one of us, again, is saying they're doing it.
Yeah,
when we say that, they don't do it.
There was a year. Last time I was in Atlanta, I was the only one to put A&M as the SEC champs, you know? And I was way off. I think Jimbo got fired that year. I don't know. Or the year after. I don't know.
We don't have to bring it up anymore. Yeah. But, all right. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. We appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We can't wait to see you again on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Giga Maggies.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.